Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. We remember when the troops were coming back from war and they were landing in, I think, Houston's airport or Dallas's airport.
Mm-hmm.
And coming when Iraq was ended.
Yes.
And you think that would have been the moment in time that our, you know, president would have been there to receive them.
Sure.
But it was former president, you know,
oh, yeah.
George Bush and his
that's
wife
right.
that mm-hmm. were hugging the troops. I believe that's even, you can see that on the torch. It was a beautiful scene. It was like a father welcoming
yeah.
his sons and daughters home who had just paid this ultimate price of sacrifice to mm-hmm. be able to be there, you know, on behalf of our country. And mm-hmm. you carry that load as a president,
yeah.
you know, obviously having to send people, the greatest thing, heaviest thing that a president will ever do is have to send a young boys and girls,
yeah.
young men and women to war to be able to fight for the cause that he ran for office for, to defend the cause of the Constitution, keep us safe from enemies foreign and domestic. And that's what you have to do as a yeah. commander in chief. You got to be able to do that. And a lot of people come in and second guess the previous presidents and future presidents. But the truth is that individual still has to live with
absolutely,
you know, what they've done. And he followed it all the way through. He was there to welcome
the
men and women, our soldiers. It was just a beautiful thing to be able to see that, giving them a hug and
mm-hmm.
kissing the women on the cheek and just honoring
isn't
them
cool?
for the service. Yeah, it was just yeah. exactly what they, I'm sure they needed to be healed from all the...
Sure.
You know, a lot of things that had taken place out there. And
think about the first president, his father, George Bush, the first George.
George H. Yeah,
yeah George H. That on the first Gulf War, he had Billy Graham come on in to
oh,
the
wow.
White House. Yeah, and they prayed. They prayed together before he sent the troops in. And that was probably pretty, you know, it was pretty cool. You need God, you know what I'm saying? You're making
yeah,
these
no
major
doubt.
Decisions. You need, you want to have God in the midst of it.
I heard several different stories about, you Billy Graham, you know, being instrumental in leading his family or leading
yeah.
Him to the Lord, but also, you know, in his book, I believe he talked about President Bush, George W. Bush, that he was showed up at a men's meeting, I believe, a study meeting at a Methodist church,
mm-hmm.
and you know, committed his life to God. And today, I believe his library is at a Methodist university in
yeah,
Texas.
Yeah, it is. It
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, hey, I don't know if you've heard about this or not, but there is a TV program, something about race or something, like Race Around the World or...
Oh, yeah.
What's it called?
It's called The Amazing Race.
The Amazing Race, and they're racing around the world, and a missions group has it's called Adventures and Missions, that they take people on short-term mission trips, and they started what's called a Race Around the World. A race around the world, and it's where I believe it's for 10 months they will take this whole group of young people to 10 different nations.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, and you got to hear this. This is very, very encouraging because you're hearing somebody, Emily, that is participating in it and how she raised her own support and went out there and had to give her perspective. Listen up.
Thomas, well, imagine quitting your job, leaving everything behind, and setting off on a trip, one that goes to 11 countries in 11 months.
Sounds very exciting
it
to
does.
Me. Well, recently I met one young lady who's doing just that. She's having the adventure of a lifetime on what's called the World Race.
In these cultures that we're going to, people don't care what you look like or what you smell like or, you know, would they care about the message that you have?
Year-old Emily Wright of Virginia Beach left her job, her apartment, and her family to take the World Race Challenge. That means over the next 11 months, Emily will visit 11 countries for about 30 days each.
You know, I'm excited just to be a part of something bigger than myself.
Her adventure began helping orphans in Mozambique. From there, she goes to Swaziland, South Africa, India, Nepal, Thailand, Cambodia, Vietnam, Malaysia, Moldova, and will end her journey in Romania. The World Race, now in its seventh year, establishes contacts in each country, so Emily and her team will work with local churches and ministries in the region.
The ministries could range from vacation Bible school to working in orphanages to ministering to women and children who have been in human trafficking, especially in Southeast Asia.
Emily's group is part of a larger team of about 50 racers who've been asked to travel light.
I will have one backpack for the entire 11 months, and I'll be taking a tent. So sometimes we'll have accommodations and sometimes we won't.
How do you feel about going a week without a shower?
I'm the type of girl who can handle that, and in training we had practice doing that. We were living in the woods for a week, group of 50 people, getting close together.
World Race founder Seth Barnes came up with the idea several years ago to give young people an alternative to the 9-to-5 routine.
We push people to do what we call a Luke 10 kind of journey, where they go out and they take virtually nothing, and they know that they've got all spiritual authority, and we ask them to pray for local needs and see what God does when he shows up. And it inevitably changes them as they depend on God with, you know, total dependence, that he shows up in power.
Barnes says thousands of young people apply each year because they're looking for more.
By leaving all of this stuff that has defined us and just allowing God to open up his possibilities in all different cultures, they find that there's more to life, that this yearning that they've had inside has an answer.
One thing Emily and her team are discovering is that mission work can be tough and that spiritual warfare is real. Emily shared this recent blog post from Mozambique. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In ministry, I see children who are dying in the hospital who have nothing. No bed sheets, no food, no doctors, no paper towels to wipe up their mess. It's so easy to just see the hopelessness and the darkness. But the truth is that God has authority over every seemingly hopeless situation. He is trustworthy, he is good, and he is our healer. And ultimately, he has already defeated sickness and death.
If you'd like to take the World Race Challenge like Emily, you just need to be between the ages of 21 and 35 and have a heart for missions and adventure. It'll cost you about $15,000 for the entire journey, but you don't have to have it all before you go.
Emily says although the journey is not always easy, her mission remains the same: God's love.
Whatever form that takes, giving them shoes or taking them out for an evening, or Jesus said to heal the sick, cast out demons, and raise the dead. And so they really ask you to have that kind of faith.
I loved meeting Emily, and you can follow her adventure online. See what country she's in. She's in India right now, by the way. And you can even help her cause by going to her blog page, which is fantastic, by the way. Find the link at our website, cbnnews.com.
And not only that, you can go to the VFN Torch and give directly to her. I know that when I saw what Emily Rhett was doing, you know, my heart was moved, and I wanted to be able to sow into missions and what she was doing. She's directly walking as Jesus walked, as he sent us out, Luke 10 walk.
That's right.
And we talk about that quite often. And, this is what it's all about, you know, refocusing ourselves. When she gave her life and she went out and about and got outside the 5% to see the 95%, which is outside of America, she began to see that, you know, just a smile on your face, just a kind word, spending some time with people. He said that these kids don't care. They don't care how what you look like. They don't care all these things that are so superficial that it seems like that's what the environment that we live in quite often in America is, so much superficial stuff that, you get to the heart of the matter when you go out and see people that are in need. Mm-hmm. And it's tempting. Quite often, quite a few ministers will just leave America for a while to get refocused and rebooted on what matters most, because it's easy to get taken in by this culture, and there's enough people to affirm this artificiality of life and say there's nothing wrong with that. And the truth is, when it comes down to it, what Emily is doing and others are doing with her and what so many are doing, that's what we're called to do. We're called to go through this life and lay down our life for the cause of the kingdom. And it's a struggle in an environment who, according to George Barna, that you know, a regular church attenders who attend a gathering at least once every 2 weeks, 97% don't even lay down his tithe and offering. That 92-91% or 81% don't even lay down time to be able to read his word.
Yeah.
Wow.
And those that do, of the 19% who do, only 3% lay down their life in conjunction with the word. And but when you see Emily, it just stirs your hope and say, you know, this is what it's all about. The question is this, you know, and I ponder this quite often, and I guess I'll talk more about it after this break. But quite often what takes place is you stay in a place so long that all of a sudden the place that you've been in just becomes normal to you. You become adjusted to it. Right. And the worst thing we could ever do is become adjusted to darkness.
Right.
Adjusted to something that's contrary to what God says. And we see marriage that way. We see the church order that way. We see so many things that way. And now we got so many things that contradict what God plainly says in his word as wrong. And we just accept it. And then anybody brings it up, I mean, they're literally just, they come against them and attack that person. And it's sort of like, what part of don't you understand God's not like that anymore?
That's right.
He's changed that. He's changed that in the last 0.006% of the existence of the earth.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.